Pittsburgh, I love ya. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zafalo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubzafalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region. View their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, hosting local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook or find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. Tim Russell, the rum maker behind Maggie's Farm Rum. How are you doing?
I'm pretty well.
Anybody ever tell you you look like Brad Pitt?
I've gotten that once or twice.
A lot, yeah. I bet. I think you're being modest. Does that come in handy in the rum business?
It hasn't yet. It's actually been a while. I've
heard it. Oh, okay. Well, you heard it today. So there you go. We are actually here in the distillery for Maggie's Farm Rum. Is that what we would call the space?
Yes, this is our distillery.
So it's actually happening right now behind us, the distilling
process. It's
literally
happening behind you right now.
So what is in this tank that's over my left shoulder here?
That is the result of a sugar fermentation. So what I'm doing right now is distilling the alcohol out of that fermentation.
And then what's happening over here in this
one? Nothing much right now. This is our new still. That's the old guy. We got that one in about a year and a half ago. 2 years ago, actually. It's 100 gallons. Served us very well to this point. It'll continue serving us, but as business picks up, we added a little bit more capacity. So the new one's about 250 gallons. This came in 2 weeks ago.
Now, when I hear the term still, I think of like some old like moonshine kettle in the backwoods, but these things are beautiful. I mean, they really are.
Yeah, they're actually hand-hammered copper made in Spain.
Wow.
The company still does kind of the old world pot still style.
Now, how did you get into the rum business?
I've been homebrewing beer for about 8 years. Kind of thought about doing the brewery thing pro. So are a lot of other people. Didn't want to get really too caught up in that. Plus, I don't think I was really that great of a brewer. Right about the same time, I saw some law changes come down the pipeline. So it was about 4 years ago that actually allowed the direct sales of distilled spirits in Pennsylvania to the customer without having to go through the state store. So that law change, we can sell it by the bottle or by the glass to the public. So with that, it makes it a lot more viable to actually operate a business, especially from a startup standpoint.
And Maggie's Farm Rum is the first rum distillery in Pennsylvania
since Prohibition? We're the first commercially available craft rum since Prohibition in Pennsylvania, at least. In Western Pennsylvania, maybe one of the first ever. Mm-hmm. I say that only because Colonial Rum was a big thing and along the port cities of the East Coast, so rum was being made in Philadelphia just because it was a port, so there was access to molasses. Nobody was trucking molasses over the Alleghenies to make rum in Western PA for any reason. Yeah, this is more of a rye whiskey country, really. So it's definitely could be one of the first rums made in Western PA for sure.
Now, I really never knew it could just be made anywhere because you think of rum, you sort of think of tropics and things like that. Why hasn't anybody else done it in Pennsylvania?
I don't know. When I had gotten started, I think vodka and whiskey were the only things being made in Pennsylvania at the time, and some gin. I kind of looked at it as something that was just a little bit underappreciated, obviously not represented. So it made a little more sense. And then also from a capital startup, making rum equipment-wise, since it doesn't require a starch conversion in the mash. So it was a little bit easier to go from start out with the rum also.
So is that what made you a good rum maker as opposed to a lousy beer maker?
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
So what really, as far as taste goes, do you feel distinguishes a quality rum from just a regular run-of-the-mill rum?
It shouldn't be overly sweet.
I think a lot of people think that it ought to be.
Right. That's one of the under things that are underappreciated about rum. People associate it with one of two things. It's either a bad college experience or some really sweet, sugary drink with, you know, fruit and flowers and things like that coming out of it. It's really not the case. A rum cocktail can be as dry as any whiskey or gin cocktail. Honestly, I think rum is probably one of the most versatile spirits. Mm-hmm. For whether just sipping neat or making a cocktail from.
Can you remember your first rum experience?
I'm sure there was one back in high school, but there was a gin experience, there was a tequila experience too, so not specifically.
Yeah. Now, it seems to me everybody has that one alcohol that really is like their kryptonite. With me, it's gin. I love gin, but man, whoo, we watch it, you know?
Yeah.
You pretty solid with everything across the board?
I am now. I think gin for a lot of people is kind of one of the last horizons as far as it is appreciating. And gin was actually one of the first things that I really started drinking. So I'm drinking gin, then I got into scotch whiskey, then bourbon. And later on, rum was sort of one of the last things. Because again, I didn't recognize it for what it was. Mm-hmm. Once I really learned about it, that I was able to appreciate it. And now some of the best rums I would take over any kind of bourbon.
So if I've got a blind taste test, rums lined up, how am I going to find Maggie's? What really sets it apart from other rums out there?
One difference with our rums, it's made from raw sugar. Mm. I would say 90% of rums are molasses-based. Now, there's a legal definition of rum in that it's got to be made from sugarcane or a derivative of sugarcane. So 90% are molasses-based. We make ours from raw sugar, so it's 100% turbinado sugar. So that does give it a little bit of a different character. It's a little bit more grassy, earthy. We also pot distill it, which gives it a more body, more flavor. So it's kind of the opposite of a neutral, you know, Puerto Rican or Cuban style rum.
So are those ingredients difficult to come by here in Pittsburgh? Or are they?
Well, it's funny. Some people will ask, you know, there's obviously a big local movement here, and someone will ask if I use local sugar cane.
Yeah, who's growing sugar?
No, it doesn't really grow north of South Carolina.
I didn't think so.
If I could use it, I would, but yeah, it's one thing we really can't do.
Well, I will forgive you that, you know, but it's great that you're here in the Pittsburgh, you know, food and beverage landscape. There's a lot of great things like this popping up, and I think you've got a lot of distribution locally in restaurants and bars too, yes?
Yeah, I've done really well. Offhand, at this point, I used to keep a list on our website, and I got some bad feedback because people had it that we didn't have on the list, so it is easier to take the list off of our website because at this point, it's hard to keep track of the places that do have it.
Right. Well, the good side of that is it's in demand.
Right.
Yeah. So, getting quite a bit of acclaim, right. Not just locally, but nationwide. I think a couple of awards came your way recently.
Yeah? Yeah, this year we're actually the most awarded rum distillery in the country.
The most awarded rum distillery in the country.
And that's through 4 different international and national competitions. So there it was the San Francisco International, the San Francisco World Spirits Competition, the New York International Spirits Competition, and then the 2 big American craft competitions are the American Craft Spirits Association and the American Distilling Institute. So we have a dozen medals through those 4 competitions.
Wow. I just realized that might be a dream job for me to be a judge for something like that.
Yeah, those guys get wine and dine pretty well.
Did you go to these events? What was it like?
Not the actual judgings. It's done beforehand. So the 2 American craft competitions, those are sort of the trade bodies that represent craft spirits. Mm. They have a national convention every year. So at the convention, they announce the awards, and the judging's usually done a couple of weeks beforehand.
All right, so by the time everybody gets to their kind
of... the one great thing is actually they... when you enter these competitions, you're sending in anywhere from 2 to 4 bottles of your product for the actual judging. Mm. And what's left over, you kind of just, it's a free-for-all at the end of the banquet.
Hey.
At the end of the banquet, they hand you a glass, and then every bottle that was submitted, what's left over is set in a room.
I need to score myself some press passes to this. But there are some events like that in Pittsburgh. Isn't there a spirits festival that we do once a year?
Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board has a spirits festival every October.
Now, have you participated in that?
I haven't yet. It's a little difficult to get into.
Really?
I would say. The fees are
high.
The Liquor Control Board tends to work better with a lot of the national brands, and for reasons like that. There's not a lot of focus put on the local small distillers.
Now, do you see yourself growing nationally in the future?
Yeah, I see it. I don't know how fast, how soon. I'm treading very lightly right now. Still very, very small, relatively speaking, compared to a lot of the other distilleries in the country, even the other craft distilleries. I can barely keep up with the Pittsburgh market at this point. Hopefully the new still behind me will help out a lot and open things up.
Pittsburgh is hungry for rum.
Apparently.
Well, you're in a good place then. Now, we've got two examples here. This is spiced rum.
Yes.
Excellent. That's a variety that you do. And then we also have Queen's Share.
Queen's Share, yeah.
That's a neat bottle. It's almost like a little potion.
Yeah, we had the bottles imported from Italy.
Beautiful. Very beautiful. These would make a great gift, too.
They do.
Now, what do you suggest pairing? You know, here we are in the middle of the summer, pairing with rum. What's a good summer rum cocktail that you'd recommend?
Our white rum, I think, makes a really killer daiquiri, which is as simple as it gets as far as a cocktail. I mean, it's part of the holy trinity of rum cocktails, which is lime, sugar, and rum.
That's the holy trinity.
And that's the cocktail itself. It's
praise
white
be,
rum,
I'll salute that.
Lime juice and sugar.
You know, I have always loved a dark and stormy. I think that is my favorite. That is rum, right?
Yes.
Okay, that has been my rum go-to. It's tough to find good ginger beer, though.
There's a really, really good ginger beer bottled maybe 15 miles away up in Natrona.
What's it called?
Jamaica's Finest.
I've got to check that out.
It's made by the Natrona Bottling Company. And that's, we have a cocktail bar here on the weekends, and we serve a dark and stormy every weekend, and we use Jamaica's Finest ginger beer.
So sample Maggie's Farm Rum, we can come by during the weekends, pull a seat up at the bar, and try some of the selections.
Yeah. We're open Wednesday through Sunday for bottle sales and tastings, so you can come in and sample anything. And then Friday evening and all day Saturday, we feature about 8 or 9 different craft cocktails with our rums.
Great. Now, I thought I was going to be talking to Maggie today. There's no Maggie.
There's no Maggie here.
How did the distillery get its name?
It's a Bob Dylan song, which was kind of the inspiration of starting the thing. I worked as a project manager for a defense contractor for a number of years. So it was kind of my life before this. Wasn't real happy with that. It's actually a small. It was a good small company to work for. And just through a series of corporate buyouts, things got bigger and bigger and worse and worse.
Were those guys rum drinkers?
No, they were just boring all around.
They needed to be. See, they could have really utilized this then.
But after so long, I really just gave up. I couldn't do it anymore. I think the kind of the epiphany was, I came back from a meeting and it was one of the stereotypical, you know, bad office meeting. I sat down on my desk and Maggie's Farm actually came on the radio while I'd sat down, and you kind of listened to it. It was just kind of, it was like, yeah.
It was an omen.
Yeah, it was.
That's when, you know, people of, you know, in biblical situations, they say they got the call,
right.
The calling. Yeah. That was your calling to the rum world. That's beautiful. So that's going to be chapter one in your memoir, I think. The Rum Diaries. Although
yeah.
I think that title's taken. Hunter S. Thompson would be a good mascot for you.
I'm a big fan of Hunter S. Thompson. And actually, our original bottles had a Hunter S. Thompson quote stamped on every bottle.
Did his estate come after you? Is that why?
No, and actually, because I was hand stamping every single bottle, that just became impossible to keep up with.
Well, they're as I said before, they're beautiful. Who does your artwork?
So the guys at Commonwealth Press on the South Side designed these labels for the spice and the white rum, and then my business partner, his wife Hannah, actually does the design for these. Which actually, it's a pencil drawing that she had done by hand, and we digitized it, and made the labels from it.
Beautiful. All right, now what is your favorite out of all this? What's your go-to?
Of these rums?
Mm-hmm.
We have one of the Queen Shares. So this actually comes in a few different varieties. We have an unaged one. So the big difference with the Queen Shares, these are made from the tail runnings of these rums. So for every one of these rum distillations that we do, we take the very end runnings coming off the still, and we stick them aside. The reason is the tail runnings are very... they're concentrated in the heavier components, a little more oily, more body, more flavor. So through a method I had learned from a master distiller in Grand Cayman, who had learned it from a Jamaican estate distiller, they would take these tail runnings, they would stick them aside. Once they had enough, they would redistill them on their own to kind of clean them up a bit, but again, it would concentrate them in a lot of the extra character. So that's how these are actually made. They're all cask strength too, so around 120 proof. We have one that's unaged, we have one that's aged in bourbon barrels, we have one aged in rye whiskey barrels. There's a fourth one that we do that I only had a very small amount of, and it's called a double barrel. The reason is we aged it in one barrel, which happened to be a toasted virgin oak barrel. So it was a toasted barrel, not a charred barrel. So it's kind of the barrel that you would age wine in.
Okay.
And with it, it just gave it a very, very oaky character. Okay. We then took that and then threw it into a used rum barrel from another distillery, which just gave it a whole other depth of character that was completely different from that original barrel. Called it a double barrel, bottled it around 114 proof. With that spirit, we actually won the best overall rum at the American Craft Spirits Association. So I would say that's my favorite.
Well, with all that labor that went into it, I'd say you deserve it. Thank goodness you've got the patience for all this, because you kind of lost me at the first barrel, I think. Mm. But it sounds like you've studied with some rum masters that have passed on a lot of these processes and techniques.
Yeah, Eric Watson was the guy that I was speaking with, who was actually the master distiller in Grand Cayman. Mm. The funny thing is, he's a mountaineer. He lives in Bridgeport, West Virginia. He's grown up there. He went to WVU. Mm. So he spends about a week out of every month doing quality control in Grand Cayman, and then he does a lot of consulting around the U.S. I'd met him through the American Distilling Institute, so I'd taken some classes with him through that, and then I eventually had him, he came up here to help me out with the first couple of distillations, what we did with the system.
Yeah, he's West Virginia, that's moonshine country, right?
Yeah, which is, like I said, I tell people, you know, Grand Cayman rum distiller, and I say he's from, you know, the middle of West Virginia.
Hey, you know, and here you are, the first rum distillery in Pittsburgh, so I guess the location doesn't matter so much with rum.
No.
Because with wine, you tend to think that, like, oh, to be, you know, a great winery, you've got to be
right.
in Napa
or
France or
like
something
that.
Like that, but rum, I guess you can do just about anywhere, right? Does the climate affect the distilling at all?
Not the distilling at all. I mean, sugarcane's grown in mostly just in the tropics, obviously, because it does require year-round sunshine. A lot of people associate the Caribbean with sugarcane. Most of the world's sugarcane now is grown in Brazil and India.
Mm.
It's the source of the rum's coming from the Caribbean, but it can be made anywhere.
Right, as long as you can get the sugar.
Right.
Right, you can make it just about anywhere.
Yeah, they said colonial rum was a big thing back in the pre-revolutionary days. Even a lot of places like Newfoundland have rum history because they had traded salt cod for molasses back in the 1600s, 1700s.
I don't know who got the worst end of that deal. But
about that story, I mean, the salt cod was traded to feed the slaves, and the molasses apparently made really bad rum that they had it there, but it was better than nothing.
What about, like, my basement? Could I make rum in my basement?
You theoretically could make rum in your basement.
Yeah, I'm just talking theoretically, right. You know? Not, you know, the kind of rum that I got to pay taxes on or anything like that. Just curious. I won't hold you, you know, I won't implicate you that that happens to happen.
Take the fifth on that.
Right. But as far as the labor that goes into it, as it would compare to maybe distilling, say, vodka or gin or even making wine, you know, how really does rum differ as far as the labor that goes into it?
You're going to have some kind of fermentation for everything. You have to create your alcohol, which is going to be done by the yeast. At that point, the yeast is going to be doing most of the work, whether it's a beer, wine. For spirit, you're going to take that alcohol fermentation, and then you're going to distill it. For the most part, it's all the same process. With rum, we actually already have our sugar source. If you were to make a whiskey, you'd be starting off with some sort of grain.
Mm-hmm.
There's no sugar in grain, so you actually have to do a starch conversion.
That's true.
Which will give you your sugar, which is food for the yeast. And then the yeast will consume that, produces your alcohol and some other things that would contribute to the flavor and character of the spirit. But we have our sugar source, so that gets fermented. At that point, we have about a 300 gallon wash at about 8-10% alcohol, and we distill that from there. So that process is going to be similar to whether it's a whiskey or a gin or a vodka. Vodkas usually require sort of more specialized equipment.
Mm-hmm.
We have a pot still. Vodkas usually require what we know as a column still, which sort of purifies the spirit a lot more during the distillation, which actually gives you a very neutral spirit. The definition of vodka is that's a flavorless, odorless spirit. It's essentially all ethanol and water, whereas other spirits such as rum, whiskey, brandy, you're going to have a lot of character. So you're going to have not just the ethanol, which is your potable alcohol, but also a lot of those esters and flavors that are created by the yeast.
I have 40% alcohol. I think we can get that up to maybe 50, 55.
I mean, this guy here right now is 120 proof.
Woo, so
that's
really?
That's 60%.
Wow. And made in Pittsburgh.
Right.
We ought to be proud of that.
Yeah, that went on the label.
Now, around the holidays, I make rum balls.
Okay.
You know, would this be good for you in there?
Yeah. I had a guy come in here about 3 or 4 hours ago and said his wife, he came in last week for a bottle, and he came back in, and I was like, you know, is the bottle gone already? And he said, most of it ended up in a rum cake.
Yeah, in his belly, I think,
yeah.
That was a sly way to deal with buying two in a week. Yeah, you sell by the case, the crate.
Yeah, you can do that.
All right, sounds good. And we can certainly.
Yeah, like I said, we sell by the glass too on the weekends.
Come down on the weekends, pull up a chair, have a shot of Maggie's Farm Rum. We're looking forward to it.
Sure.
Thank you, Tim, for chatting with us.
Yeah,
I'm in the mood for a dark and stormy. I'm gonna go see about that.
Okay.
Cheers, my friend. Thanks for chatting with us. In closing, we would like to once again thank our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Off the Wall Theater, Cefalo's Banquet and Events Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, Arcade Comedy Theater, Downtown, and Bergvivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. Find out more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. And be sure to follow Pittsburgh's Cultural Talk magazine online. You can find Bergvivant, the It in Pittsburgh, on Facebook, Twitter, or subscribe for free at www.bergvivant.com. This is Brian Edwards saying cheers and good night.